Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtime live. Thanks for listening.
Susan Keogh sitting in for Ciara Kelly on Lunchtime Live this afternoon. Now, Ciara talked about bereavement on the show last Friday after a listener got in touch asking for advice on a situation that he's in. Here's what he said. I'll read some of this email. I'm emailing looking for thoughts on a difficult grieving situation. My father has terminal cancer and is coming to the end in the next few days, maybe a week. He's 59. The difficulty is my 11-year-old son and how we manage this with him. He is close to his granddad, having spent a lot of time with him, and he's aware his granddad is in a hospice and has visited him. However, in the last few weeks, his granddad has been very weak and tired, and due to this, we've not brought my son to visit him. My son is desperate to see him, so we're actually bringing him to see him today. We have explained that it's okay to ask questions, and he's asked, will his granddad be coming home from the hospice? I decided not to lie and tell him that his granddad would not be coming home, but we have not told him the truth out straight. We're unsure if we should actually tell him the truth. Any thoughts on this? Now, I'm joined in studio for some expert advice. Breed Carl, chairperson of Irish Childhood Bereavement Network, is here with me. Breed, thanks for coming into us this afternoon on Lunchtime Live. What do you make of that conundrum that that man has about his 11-year-old son and his 59-year-old dad?
I think this is the type of question we constantly get asked. And I think the everyday conversations about death are few and far between in this country, really. So I think that's one of the reasons why we have such difficulty in talking about grief. But when it comes along and we're trying to protect our children and we like to give them the pleasure things in life, and my goodness, we're suddenly left in a scenario like this with a very young grandfather too dying.
Absolutely.
And
yeah, 59.
That's what really strikes me in the email. And thinking immediately, I'm thinking, well, what was the relationship between this 11-year-old boy and granddad? Because in this country, relationships between grandparents and grandchildren is huge.
And this man would have only been 49, you know,
absolutely,
or like 48 when this little boy was born.
So an active man who was well able to probably kick football with him and all of those wonderful things. And I think it's that piece of, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And it's that piece of actually, I always say, steady yourself. This is a conversation you hate to have, but you're going to have to slow down the pace. And it's of actually make a plan. You know, you don't have to race out immediately to give all of the information. The child has asked questions. And I'm thinking an 11-year-old, you know, fifth class, primary school, they're aware of everything in their surroundings.
These days,
These days, they are taking in everything. They know things are awry. So they know that mum or dad is actually constantly going to the hospice and the granddad's there. And it's actually that piece of, can I come to visit? So important for that relationship. And I think the first thing I see in that is a little bit of preparation, because perhaps granddad now has a lot of ventilators, machines around him, a little bit of preparation of what the child is going to see physically. Again, looking at it, he has actually seen granddad while granddad was ill. Just having the conversation with, what changes has he noticed in the illness? What do you notice granddad can't do anymore? And very quickly, children, and you know, this could be with the loss of a parent just as easily as a grandparent. And I have sat with children who say, well, I actually noticed, you know, they can't actually ride the bicycle anymore, or they don't drive the car anymore. And in fact, they need help going to the bathroom.
Mm.
So they can actually see, and they're witnessing.
Nothing gets past
the changes.
Nothing gets past them. In terms of his specific question about, you know, he's asked, is granddad coming home from hospice? He said he decided not to lie and tell him that his granddad would not be coming home. But he hasn't kind of gone further than that and come out straight and said your granddad is going to pass away.
He did really well. He didn't tell the lie.
Okay.
And he actually ended up putting in the first foundation stone. Because
so you
he can
don't
come back
go
again.
Full in and
doesn't have to
build it.
Take the sledgehammer and sort of say, right, no, granddad's going to die. It's actually, remember, you know, it's now the stepping stone for the next conversation. Remember I said to you that granddad wouldn't come in out of hospice. And hospice is the place when doctors can't actually make us better, that people go so that they have a, you know, they're comfortable and they're well looked after at that stage. And it's like, you know, now we see that they're telling us now that granddad is not getting stronger. He's actually getting weaker by the days.
Breed, how important is it or I suppose how thin of a line is there between being honest with a child and, you know, making sure that that child isn't wondering, is everybody telling them lies or, you know, leading them up a garden path, and then presenting a small child with some information that maybe is very, very hard for them to process. So possibly going into a hospice and seeing somebody, again, like you say, with ventilators or wires and what kind of knock-on effect that might have on them, you know, down the line in terms of nightmares or just in general, they might worry a lot.
I think we as adults get caught in the complexity of it.
Okay.
Children see things in concrete terms. Oh, machines, right. And that's it. And they can be quite hard with us when you turn around and think about it. You know, they'll turn around and say, well, you know, I've seen somebody turn around and say, well, you know, you've buried your dad now and they're in the ground now. You know, and a child is as direct as that with the information. So it's actually the piece of, let's not get fearful of the nightmares of that, because the majority of children won't have them.
Okay.
And it's actually the piece of what I can see. It gives a child control in a situation where things are going out of control.
How important is it to be age appropriate with this? So specifically in relation to our email, we're talking about 11-year-old. But unfortunately, there will be children much younger than that who will lose a parent, who will lose a grandparent. And then you'll have right up to 15, 16 teenagers, which brings it up its own different complexities with it.
Absolutely.
How do you know what you're doing is the right thing?
I think one of the things, you know, we turn around and in the past we had this attitude of, oh, the younger children don't understand, but younger children will miss. And I see that, you know, it's not just the 5-year-old, it's down to the 3-year-old. So it's actually coming along and explaining to them that, you know, granddad is ill. There's a wonderful book Elke Barber has brought out around the loss of her own husband. And it was, she actually created it to explain to her own child. So, you know, Will Daddy Be Back in a Minute is the name of the book. But it's for explaining to children as young as 4 and 5. And again, you know, on the ICBN website, we have actually links to all of these documents so people can get them there. So, you know, there is actually a place where you can actually source this information. For the early teen, I think the telling to an early teen is very interesting. You know, you look at the 10 to 14 year old, they don't want to know because it doesn't come into everything else in life, you know, and it's the denial. It looks like denial. So you think, have I told them anything? Because they're behaving as if nothing has happened.
A couple of texts in here. One texter reminding us rightly that there are no ventilators in a hospice, no patients are on life support in hospice, very limited equipment in hospice. But that's not to say that people wouldn't not look like themselves or look very different, and it might be a strange environment for a young child. One in here, be careful with adult concepts. Heaven is an adult concept and is not suitable for children. When two of my children were in junior infants, a child in their class was killed tragically. The first time my children heard of heaven as a concept was when the school told them that child had gone to heaven. They were very upset and unable to sleep for some time as they had a vision of the child they knew being stuck in this heaven, in inverted commas. To a child to be stuck in some place away from family is quite frightening. And
Absolutely.
That came in from Darren. Would you agree with that, Jess?
I think it is, and we have to actually respect what every belief system is for families. So we think of how do families see, you know, and often you'll hear parents turning around and sort of saying, you know, oh, you know, mum is like the star in the sky that looks down on
you
now.
Something that you can kind
of more tangible in a sense.
Another one here, how do you discuss death with a child? One of the kids in my little girl's class, she's in third class, lost her mum only the last few days. I want her to know how to deal with that news and her little pal. That's a hard one as well.
I think one of the lovely things that you can do with your children and that is be the very best friend you can be. And I can see, I think of that even with one of my grandchildren who was only 7 when one of his pals lost his dad, and he turned around and he announced that he was going to be the best friend he could be when he went back to school, and he's been that since. And it's just wonderful to watch the friendship, and it's just about kindness, because children can be harsh to each other in a play yard, because it's almost like, you know, there is that teasing and bullying that goes on when a child is singled out through grief and being bereaved.
And I suppose to talk about it as well, because one of the things, and you hear this said a lot by people who are bereaved, that when they lose somebody, all they want to do is to be able to talk about that person.
Absolutely.
They want to be able to talk about their mum or their whoever it is, and share their experiences. But often, especially maybe Irish people, we shy away from that, or at least we have done in the past. It's an awkward conversation. We're very quick to say, yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm grand. I'm back grand. And really you're not, and you're struggling underneath the surface. So I suppose for any child you know,
it's about being
they
heard.
Probably would want to talk yeah. about it. So I suppose a good starting point would be that it's your child might ask,
absolutely.
You know, something about the person. Mm. Another one here, my 7-year-old daughter was so close to my dad, but since he died 8 months ago, she won't talk about him or mention him. I wish I had had open conversations about death before.
I think that's
that
a very important point because, you know, Denise is typical of so many parents. Children protect parents in grief. They watch the pain the parents are in and they will actually tell you. When you're working with children, they'll tell you quite clearly, oh, I watch mom or dad upset and I don't want to upset them any further.
So they think so by bringing up the person that they're going to open the can of worms.
Absolutely.
So they just stay
So we
quiet.
Need to give our children permission to talk to us about it and that we'll grieve about it together. And it's actually that piece. I've seen teenagers come along and say, actually it was months later when I saw people getting a bit stronger that I actually then said,
I'll fall apart now. You know, as in they needed somebody else.
And,
maybe.
You know, I'm thinking of a teenager talking about, I saw my aunt getting really angry. I saw my granddad cry that I never saw cry in my life before. So it's almost like all the portals are falling down around them.
One here, hospice social workers are a very valuable resource
Absolutely.
To any families in this
Absolutely.
Situation. They're fantastic and they deal with obviously sensitive issues daily.
And I think too, we must remember many people die in the public hospitals in acute settings. And I think that's one of the things when we're talking about this, that the children too, and we are working with acute hospitals now, that, you know, we consider children grieve too. So please allow these children,
allow
if they're
them
losing
to.
Somebody very, very close.
One there. In here, a very sad text. I've been recently diagnosed with terminal cancer. How do I tell my 12 and 6-year-old sons? I mean,
okay.
really difficult. And
yeah,
I guess a
absolutely.
6-year-old boy and a 12-year-old boy are two very different kettle
of fish,
aren't they?
Two very different ages. And the thing about it is you look at it and you think they're not conversations you can actually have together, if you like, because of the two different ages. But the one thing about it is they both need to be told in around the same time, because you don't want one sibling holding a secret and the other not knowing, because you're putting a huge onus on the older child there. And it's very much, very gently, like, I mean, it's only as things, you know, we start with baby steps. And it's the whole thing, the image I always think of, we don't want to throw the children down the stairs at the end of it. We want to bring them along with us step by step. And again, you know, looking at our website in terms of talking to children pre the loss and of actually, and you know, thinking for this mum, very, very, it's a very sad text, but it's very precious time as well. And of how can we do things together now and use this time that we have that's so precious.
So you would promote honesty in
an
that.
Honesty, but an honesty that goes little by little and
baby steps
as it comes along. And it's like the window of opportunity when death is imminent that one can actually share what's about to happen soon. And I think it's that peace before somebody may actually be unconscious and cannot have the conversations. It's a very important place.
Absolutely. We wish that woman well dealing with
Absolutely.
All of that. That's such a sad
Absolutely.
Text. One in here, I found the books by Pip Wilson on feelings very
yes.
helpful. Pip
yeah.
Wilson, Blob Tree. And my heart goes out to that family that came in from Pamela. Are you aware of that book?
Yes, yes. Yeah, it is again. And it's any of these pieces that, you know, when someone close has died again, these sort of books, they actually allow you to talk about death. And again, someone with a serious illness in that series as well, Margot Haggard has that book. And again, that might be a very useful tool for that mum to actually talk about.
Breed, give us just the website just before
Our
we
website
finish up.
Does what it says on the tin. It's childhoodbereavement.ie.
And there's the links
and
there for
all
those
And there's links for
resources.
Fact sheets on all the different things of talking to children around grief and even post-bereavement.
Breed Carroll, chairperson of the Irish Childhood Bereavement Network, thanks so much for coming
Thank
in to us
much.
This afternoon.
Thank
I want
you.
To just give the winner of our competition today. It's Eamon Price in Leitrim. And he, of course, gave us the right answer, which was Wales. That's all we've got time for today. Sean Moncrief is up next here on News Talk. I will be back tomorrow at 12 o'clock. A big thanks to the team today, Michael Quilligan on sound, Claire Darmody and Emma Cawley producing, and Kira Courtney on research. Thank you for listening. Have a good day.